Hello everyone and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of Tea for Two. Today we've got a very, very special episode for you as we're joined with a special guest.
Hello everyone. Yes, a bit different. I've never been actually interviewed before, so I'm quite nervous. But yeah, thank you for having me on. Well, I need to introduce myself first. I'm Dermot and I go to I go to Newcastle University and I do a radio show called Emotionally Constipated, which is about destigmatizing mental health. So I'm here on today talking to Abby and on Zoom it says smelly head, but yeah. Claudia about mental health, and have a good chin wag about that. Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, so hopefully it's going to be a good one. So how is everyone doing today? Let's start off with that.
That was a good question. I'm doing very well. I mean, it was a bit rainy this morning, but the sun was shining. It's really British of me to go straight to the weather. But I managed to get a bunch of work that was stressing me out done this morning, so we're doing fine. How are you?
We love that. We love that. Yeah, I'm good. I've drank too much tea, but my group project's finally sent off and finished, which I'm very, very happy about. That has been a bucket load of stress that I just haven't needed over the last few weeks. I'm glad that's done. Dermot, what about you?
Yeah, I'm good. I handed in one of my assignments today, so I'm pretty relieved. But yeah, I'm ready to start talking about mental health, which I love doing. So, yeah, it's good fun.
Brilliant. The best thing about Dermot's show is that he started it to destigmatize mental health to the point that, correct me if I'm wrong, that it could be spoken over a pint, just like any other conversation you'd have with your friends. And Abby and I started Tea for Two because we wanted to record all the conversations that we have over a drink. And mental health is also a big part of that. So we're so happy to have you on today and have two shows that are actually working together really well.
Yeah, sort of. It's a very similar sort of show, yeah. But yeah. We're swapping the alcoholic beverage for a nice brew instead.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying some green tea with peppermint today because I'm trying to be healthier. We're going to ignore the chocolate I ate before this cup of tea. But it's all about balance.
Was it dark chocolate or was it milk chocolate? Oh, see, you're fine. Dark chocolate's good for you, right?
Right, it's healthy. Basically a salad.
Yeah, basically.
So yeah, as I've already touched on, we're going to be talking about mental health today, as it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week, as I'm sure a lot of you already know. And as university students, I feel like mental health is a very, very important topic, as we all know how stressful attending university can be. In fact, I think we've got a nice little statistic for you people at home. About 1 in 5 students actually suffer from a mental health issue, with depression and anxiety topping that list. I can't say I'm surprised. What are your thoughts?
No, I think it's, especially in first year, like it's just such a huge change for everyone. You're going from living at home to all of a sudden living on your own, and there's this whole new workload that you're having to adjust to and this whole new lifestyle, and you're trying to meet people, and we've spoken about it here before. It can be a lot, and I think people just assume that, oh well, this is supposed to be stressful, this is stressful for everyone, like why is the way I'm feeling any more important to talk about than the way that someone else is feeling? And that comparative suffering can come into it a lot, and then people don't talk about it because, oh, but people have it worse. And I think that's why it's important to talk about it, because people might have it worse, but whatever you're feeling is valid too.
I agree with that, to be fair, because I've got lots of friends who are like, I'm not as bad, I shouldn't go and sort of see someone because I'm taking it away from someone else who is worse. And I say, well, that's probably not the sort of point of it, you know? If your sort of mental health is negatively impacting your life, you've got to go and sort of see someone. And especially uni this year, I'd say, with the old big C, COVID around, you know, definitely been sort of heightened, you know? People are staying in their rooms a bit more, and online learning isn't fun, as both of you probably know as well. So it's like... I definitely think that's probably a factor as well. But yeah, I think it's a lot of sort of anxiety that comes with uni, a little more sort of, you've got more pressure on yourself because you're on your own a bit more. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I always use the analogy that my mum told me once. She was like, Claudia, if your leg was broken, you would not go to A&E because someone's leg might be falling off. You would not go because someone needs an operation. You'd still look after your physical health. So why aren't we looking after our mental health as much? And
yeah, I love that from your mum. That is,
I know,
a lovely analogy. Wow, that's good from her. Yeah, I think as well with COVID, obviously we've not seen people in real life for so long. So when you're actually going back out into that social situation now, it's going to be a huge shock to the system. And I think a lot of people are going to feel really overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think that's going to be sort of a thing that people are going to have to contend with now, is sort of the anxiety about coming out of lockdown. Like I've got a little bit of anxiety coming out of lockdown and being with like loads of people and stuff like that. I am looking forward to it, don't get me wrong, but it's like still a bit daunting, you know, after being a year stuck inside.
Absolutely. And we've spoken about the huge change that going into university is, but actually one of the weirdest things for me in the last couple of months has been that I've always been a really big extrovert and I've always loved seeing people, and all of a sudden we're actually getting to do all the things that I've been dreaming about doing for a year. And then my anxiety stepping in and saying, whoa, but do you remember how to socialize? But yeah, it's going to be an adjustment, but I think getting hugs from people starting Monday the 17th will be a huge, huge improvement. You forget how important that is until you're not able to hug a friend anymore.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know the actual specific statistic, but you're supposed to have about 6 hugs a day, I think, to keep you, what is it? I think it's 6 hugs a day or something. Wow. Like
that. So I went to an all-girls school and one of my friends read that statistic and she used to come up to me every day saying, I haven't gotten 6 hugs today and I'm scared I'm going to die. Will you hug me? And now we've gone to, like, especially at uni, like in the first couple of weeks of first year when you don't know your flatmates that well, you don't necessarily have the confidence to go up to them and say, hey, can I have a hug?
I don't want to bring it up, but I think some flatmates may be a bit too keen on the hug side. Like I myself, I'm not a hugger at all. I'm quite awkward. Like I'd hug someone, but I'd never actively go and choose to hug someone because I'm just so awkward. So yeah, I think I'm lacking on my 6 hugs a day.
I'm going to give you loads of hugs when I see you.
I'm sure you will. It's going to be great.
Well, as you both know, it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week, and the theme this week is nature. So as we all know about COVID, we probably got in touch with nature a bit more. I definitely did. People sort of going out every day was going for a walk or sort of going for a bit of exercise or just like literally sitting outside and maybe just breathing in some fresh air. And I think that's really important. And some statistics, if you do want to hear about that, is wildlife videos went up 2,000%. So the number of views they got went up 2,000%. And 46% of people thought nature was vital in their sort of, it was vital for them helping with their mental health. So going outside and sort of being in touch with nature. And I think for a lot of people, that is probably true. I don't know. Did you go out a lot in nature when lockdown?
I fully agree with that. I think you just read out what the first lockdown was like. Mm-hmm. It's no secret. I really enjoy a nature documentary. Always have. I'm taking environmental science, so that probably explains it. But during the first lockdown, my go-to sort of I can't sleep, it's 1 a.m. show was anything by David Attenborough.
Fair enough.
And it's like taking a little holiday. It was something that was real and engaging, but didn't remind me of actually what was going on outside, because I did find that I had to sort of cut myself off of reading the news because I was doing it almost obsessively, sort of trying to look for good news. Yeah. I realized one day I was like, I'm just reading this because I want Sky News to give me a date of when I can see my friends and family again. So taking myself away from that and immersing myself in the beautiful plains of Africa.
Wow.
A really good one. And my dog as well. Like having my dog needing a walk as an excuse was a lifeline because it got me out of the house. It actually forced me to get ready and not stay in my pajamas all day, which makes a huge difference for me. I think if I stay in my pajamas all day, I feel a million times worse in the evening than if I actually make an effort to throw a real outfit on.
Yeah.
Yes. See, I feel like I'm kind of the opposite. So I did enjoy going out for my walks, obviously. They tended to end up with me going to buy food, I can't lie. But so yeah, walks are good, but I feel like when I was at home, which was a lot of the time, I kind of wanted to distance myself from the real world. So I kind of immersed myself in more fake dramas and that kind of thing than nature documentaries. But that's just me. I'm a different breed, different specimen, as we all know.
This is why she's a great housemate, because we balance each other out quite well.
Opposites attract.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But it's sort of really important that people, not only this week, I think it's important in Mental Health Awareness Week. It's sort of, you'll see lots more people talking about mental health and posting it on their sort of stories. How, like, that's a bit of a sort of I don't know if that's a word, but bugbear with me, because it's like, well, this week you'll hear so much about it, and then these companies that are sort of really pushing it this week, they'll be radio dead until the next Mental Health 100%. Awareness Week, which is sort of like I think it's sort of like hypocritical for me, because it's like, it's so important and it's so sort of rife nowadays with, like, the pandemic, like we talked about. We need more sort of big time companies talking about mental health, like, every sort of week. Like, if I could have a Mental Health Awareness Week every week, I'd have it every week, you know?
Yeah.
So, like,
absolutely.
I think that's really sort of important. I don't know what your views on that sort of is, but I think it's a bit of a bugbear with me, you know?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. I think it's so good that we're finally having Mental Health Awareness Weeks and events that actually showcase how, one, how common it is, and two, how important it is to acknowledge it. Because I think a lot of people think, oh, it's just in my head, I can sort it out. But actually, just as I said before, like, any physical ailment, you would look after it. So it's important to actually tune in with that aspect of yourself and think, okay, what emotions am I feeling right now? Like, what can I do to feel better? Because we often spend so much time trying to help others without realizing that actually we're falling short on looking after ourselves. And I read this really good quote the other day saying that you can help people fill up the cups a lot better if your own cup is all the way full. I think it's good that we stress the importance of self-care, and that these conversations that we're starting this week with Mental Health Awareness Week then continue sort of into everyday life and actually become part of a routine, because there's no shame in talking about it.
Exactly.
I think as well, these big companies that are posting about it this week, which, as you said, is great, they need to realize that mental health isn't only important when it's trending. Like, it doesn't just come around for this week. Mental health is always an issue, and those companies that are putting out these arguably performative posts need to kind of keep it up throughout the year, because people don't suddenly get happy once Mental Health Week is over, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if this was just the magical cure. Oh, I'm fine now.
It'd be brilliant.
I think that's really interesting, because the more people that talk about it and sort of, like, you realise that maybe you are suffering from something. But, like, even this episode, like, you'll release this episode, I don't know when you do release it. Is it Fridays you release it?
Yep,
you release it on Friday. So you'll get a couple of messages after Friday and you'll get people. So when I release a radio, like, show on a Monday, I'll get people on a sort of Tuesday DMing me and saying, like, I felt really alone and stuff like that, and, like, what you're doing is really helpful. And I think in this week especially, and I think in all the weeks, we need more people doing sort of these shows. Like, we need more people doing sort of, like, radio, local radio maybe, or doing podcasts like what you're doing here. So, like, making it more comfortable and sort of, like, as you say, having a cup of tea with your friends or having a pint.
Definitely.
Sort of, like, you don't feel it awkward asking your friend, are you okay? Like, mentally, are you okay?
Yeah, and I think this is a really good moment to say that if you ever want to talk to anyone, all of our DMs are open all the time. We're more than happy to talk. I mean,
exactly.
We do it as a hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we can waffle for days. Even if you just want, like, a friend, a normal conversation, if you don't want to talk about anything to do with the mental health side, we're here. We love a chat.
I have an excellent collection of really bad memes.
She does. I can attest.
You love the movie.
But yeah, I think it's really important, and one of them sort of ways you can sort of promote mental health every week is through social media, as you we're going to probably touch on that later on. But it is sort of like a double-edged sword in a way. Like, I watched a TV show recently. I don't know if you have a Social Dilemma. Have you watched that show? I was really, really freaked out about that. Like, honestly, properly freaked out. And it was like, I was talking about it and I was looking at specifically the mental health sort of side of it. And it was sort of the facts that were coming up, or the way how, like, young girls, it's gone up. Self-harming in young girls has gone up 200%. And sort of like plastic surgeons are calling it Snapchat dysphoria now, where it's like sort of you get your sort of I don't know, filter, and it's like you want that to be your face, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can 100% relate to that one. I tell you now, it is so bad. You get this false idea of body image from using all these TikTok filters that fix all your blemishes and like change your face shape, or the Snapchat filters. It really does affect how you see yourself and how you compare yourself to other people. It's really not good.
And I think with AI, it's gotten to a point where it's so seamless that you can barely even notice that someone's changed, like how skinny their waist is, for example. Because before, I think we've all seen those pictures of celebrities where the background is completely warped. Well, now there's apps where you can actually lock the background before you do anything to yourself, so you could never tell. And it's putting all of these extremely unrealistic and frankly unhealthy standards out for girls, but even for men. I mean, it affects both genders. There's actually some really good resources on Instagram that will be posting after this episode, of pages that help bring this to the light of, okay, well, actually this model is just edited all of his abs on, he doesn't look like that in real life, or like bloat just from eating and living your own life. And I think it's happened to everyone. You sort of have a meal and then you look in your mirror and you're like, whoa, I don't look like the models on Instagram. But then if you see what posing can do, then you realize that mental. Actually the models on Instagram look exactly like you, and that you're perfectly normal and healthy.
Think that's sort of, so this week I think it's important that we sort of share it, social media. I think it's that's where most of the traction is going to come from. But I think it's like in weeks to come, when people sort of, the mental health awareness week sort of dies down, sort of, if that makes sense. And like, it really does get people sort of, it gives people unrealistic standards, as you say. And especially for men, I can say like some of the stuff you see, either they are natural in a way, so they steroids and stuff, or you, there's some things where sort of that body is, I can't attain that body. So like, I'm a very broad bloke, I can't sort of get really sort of slender and skinny, you know. So it's like, it's interesting. And I think as social media will be good this week, I think there's sort of aspects of social media that needs to be sort of changed, I think. I don't know.
I think it would be so good if Instagram put in a filter that helps make that stand out a lot more, because we're filtering content everywhere, so why aren't we filtering content or putting a warning on things that just aren't true in a way?
Because I think there is a massive difference as well between posing in a certain way and angling your body to get your best look, but then doing that and then airbrushing it all and changing everything, so you're not really the true you anymore. You're just a representation of yourself that you want to put out.
Definitely.
And I think it's important that people realize that what you see isn't always necessarily the truth. It's just their truth that they want to put out.
And I think in that way, Dermot, you were talking about earlier how people think that sometimes they're not bad enough to ask for help, which I completely agree with. And I think that's also because on social media, we see so many people look so happy all the time. But then on Hollywood, for example, and any film, you see sort of the depiction of someone who struggles with mental health as someone who can't function, who can't get out of bed, who's just not being their regular selves. And whilst that is how many days can feel when you're struggling with mental health, of course, there are days where you can't get out of bed, there are also very many days in which you can sort of pull it together and you're smiling through it and being your usual self. And that doesn't mean that you're not struggling and that you're not, that you're not struggling with it. And a lot of people say, oh, I would have never thought that you would have had anxiety, or you don't look like someone who would be depressed. But actually, I think the idea of it looking a certain way needs to be destigmatized itself, because mental health, just like any other thing, can look a million different types of ways.
I think that's like one of the sort of, you've hit the nail on the head, to be fair, because I suffer with anxiety and depression. It's like when I eventually told my friends and stuff, it was a sort of, they looked at me and went, well, first of all, they went, are you okay? And stuff like that. But then second of all was that I would have never noticed. And I think that's sort of one of the things that you need to destigmatize as well, because people want to put on a fake, false sort of like persona and false sort of appearance. And I think it's sort of like, as you were saying, it's, you get this from the media, from social media, everything's perfect. And as we both all know, it's okay not to be okay. I think that's one of the sort of things you need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, social media can actually be quite good certain times, because I've come across a lot of posts saying, with like a picture of someone looking their best, like at a red carpet, with celebrities, for example, or someone having the best time of their life on holiday with their friends, but then also a picture of them on a not so great day, and saying someone with, I don't know, GAD can look this way, but they can also look this way. And just the fact that sometimes you have better days, because it's sort of like a wave, isn't it? It just fluctuates. And you just have to go with it, do your best, and never assume.
So yeah, like as I was saying, it's like it could be your friends, it could be your sisters, brothers, you would never know. And I think that's sort of like a thing, like what I do try to do with my radio show, it's just sort of like I always say, chuck yourself a laxative, sort of, and it's like just flushing all your feelings out. Flushing all your feelings out.
I was so confused for a second. I was like processing it. I was like, oh yeah, emotionally constipated, right?
Which is brilliant, by the way. Excellent name.
But it's like, yeah, so it's just like sort of flushing all your feelings out and being open, you know? It's not, you're, and as you were saying, Claudia, it's like with the sort of Hollywood and stuff, these people with mental health are portrayed as someone they can't do much and stuff like that, when it's not the truth. And I think sort of really that needs to change, and I think people just need to be, as I say, chuck themselves a laxative.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I've looked at it a lot, and I don't know, did you ever hang upside down from furniture when you were a child? Like, did you ever hang upside down from the couch? And then your mum would say, oh, careful, you're going to break your head. But you just did it to see how different the world looked from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Well, if you do that to your anxiety, for example, so I suffer from anxiety and depression. So I tend to speak about these most because they're what I have experience with. But if you actually turn it around, well, actually, people who suffer from mental health issues, such as anxiety and depression, are often more empathetic, more creative. They're often more analytical, and those are all really good things. So actually, it's kind of like a superpower.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's a bit of a blessing, exactly. You
know? That's how I like to look at it, because it's portrayed as a handicap, and which is why the first thing that you tend to think about when you're struggling or having a slightly lower day is, what's wrong with me? Why am I broken? Like, why can't I function like all the people on social media that are getting up at 5 a.m. and doing a workout and then eating some super healthy breakfast when I can barely roll out of bed at 11 and pour myself a bowl of cornflakes today?
Yeah.
And I think it's just so important to stress that, like, yes, there are bad days, but it also makes you a lot better in a lot of ways. So it's not a disability at all.
Yeah, it's all about perspective, I think, as well. It's the whole idea of glass half full, glass half empty. You need to try and look at it from the glass half full perspective, because if you don't, you're going to just tumble down this like mountain of feeling sorry for yourself, but you're actually stronger than you think you are, and you 100% can get through this. You just need to
Was reading this post the other day that said, oh, if you had a bad anxiety day today, hats off to you, because it's extremely exhausting. And it can be, like, I was reading this book called How to Deal with the End of the World When It's in Your Own Head, which is a brilliant title, and I highly recommend it. It's by Aaron Gillies, and he described anxiety so well. He said it's like that scene in films where the main character has a little angel and a devil on his shoulder telling him to do different things. But it's not an angel and a devil. It's a tiny little version of you, and it's a little bit annoying, and you can't evict it. And it's just constantly questioning and overthinking everything you're doing. And it's so accurate. It's like, what people don't realize is that whilst someone can look really happy and really composed on the outside, on the inside, they have a million different thoughts, and they're almost having a little fight with this other version of themselves. So, like, intrusive thoughts are a big one for me. And so it's a constant of, wait, what was that? No, that's not true. Okay, back to what I was doing.
Yeah, I think that's sort of, and I don't know about you, but I'd get this sort of, so especially in sort of lockdown vibes, I'd be going through my sort of day and I'd be doing something, then I'd think about the next day and my heart would just drop, sort of, because mm-hmm. I had to go through all the feelings I felt today, tomorrow, and it's just like, oh, yeah. That again, you know? It's sort of like very exhausting, as you said, yeah.
Absolutely, and I think lockdown was hard purely because of that Groundhog Day feeling to it, which was like, okay, we woke up this morning, you felt really anxious before breakfast, and you're going to do the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think that's like where sort of the theme of Mental Health Awareness Week is really important, because I think many of us did turn to nature when we were feeling like that.
Definitely.
I think it's really important. Yeah.
It was the best, because I think we often speak about the mental aspects of mental health issues and struggles, but actually there's so many physical symptoms that come with it. I think we can all relate to, and anyone, even people who don't who aren't diagnosed or who don't see themselves as someone with mental health struggles, we've all felt a little bit nervous and the throat tightening and difficulty breathing, and for some people that can be a daily thing. Which is why nature is great, because I don't know what it is about the air inside, but the air outside is so much easier to breathe.
I just said, yeah, oh, 100%,
yeah. Like, I live in central London, it's not that clean. Yeah. For some reason, the fact that it's fresh makes it so much easier to breathe in.
Well, yeah, definitely. It is good to get out and sort of experience nature, especially with your dogs, if you have any. But, yeah.
Yes.
And if you don't have dogs,
oh yes,
buy a dog. Someone else's.
Oh,
yeah.
You can have mine if you want it. Honestly, you can loan it for the day. It's very annoying, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Jumped on my bed at 3 a.m. this morning. You have no idea the heart attack I gave.
I think as well, like nausea as a symptom of anxiety and stuff, I get that really bad. And I think it's the fact that sometimes people won't see it, but you feel it. So I had an assessment the other day in my group project. I was literally almost throwing up like 10 minutes before, and then I just had to go and do this presentation. But people obviously don't realize that you're actually going through a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and I think that's another important thing.
And I think that's a sort of thing uni needs to sort of I think Newcastle, I go to Newcastle University, and they've got so much better with it, in a sense that they were saying, like, we don't know what's going on, it's really tough doing online learning, but we're going to give you sort of the support. It's going to be there. We're going to advertise it a lot. And it's going to be sort of there in the background if you do need it. And it's like, I think that's really good. And letting people know that it's there is so important, so people don't feel alone. But it's like, as you say, you're going into a presentation. They don't know none of the feelings you're sort of currently feeling. And it's like, that can probably make it much harder for you to do presentations. And what Newcastle's doing really well is sort of giving you support by doing that. You can submit a PEC, which is, I think we were talking about this before, I don't know what for York is, what is it, an S?
So you can submit, I think it's called, I always muddle this name up, an exceptional circumstances form.
Yeah, so it's sort of, it's exactly like that, and they'll give you sort of an exemption if you need it, or they can give you an extension, or you can take the group projects grade. And I think that's really important, especially when it comes to sort of presenting. I think it's interesting, because it's sort of, if you do an extension for presenting, it's only delayed, where sort of, that helps with coursework. But for me, presenting, I like presenting. I don't know why. I do have anxiety about it. I get nervous. I get nervous, but I sort of do love it. I love this sort of, when I'm once I'm into it, I love it, you know? But I think for some people who suffer with anxiety and depression, it's literally they couldn't think of anything worse. And I think university, I don't know, what's it like at York? Is it good at York supporting you with mental health? And
so I think it's gotten a lot better since the pandemic, actually. I think it's been a really good eye-opener for people that you really never know what's going on in someone's head. And so before, you needed to submit evidence when you were applying for exceptional circumstances. I think, for example, if you were doing it for bereavement, you had to actually submit the death certificate or a copy of it. And now they've completely removed that, because unless people have a document proving their diagnosis, they're never going to be able to get circumstances for anything that's mental health related. So they've fully scrapped that, which I think is excellent. They've also invested in all of their services, so like Nightline, Open Door and Together All, and made sure that they were promoting those regularly so that students knew that if they needed help, it was there. And if they needed more time on an assignment, they could totally take that, which I think has done a lot of good in terms of easing people's minds, because there's just been so much to think about.
Yeah, I think there's still the problem though that some people will feel, like we've spoken about earlier, that they're not worthy to have the extra time, that they don't merit having the extra time, which I think maybe the university needs to focus on and do a bit more about, saying if you want it, take it. You don't need to have the worst in, you know, quote marks, mental illnesses. But even if you just want a little bit more time because you want to take a break for a day because you're not feeling good mentally, you can do it. Like, it's not a problem.
I think I agree with that totally. They are, especially Newcastle, they've got much more flexible with that sort of thing. Like, PECs are being sort of accepted for what you were saying, like you're having a bad day and you're going to be sort of behind on your work. They are much better at accepting that. And I think after the pandemic, I still think they need to do that to a certain extent. I think
definitely.
I think it'd be quite a sort of hypocritical thing to do to just go back to what it was before. I think because there's going to be lots of scars left over from sort of pandemic and stuff. Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. It's sort of interesting. I think unis are getting better, but I think there's always sort of more you can do. I think I think there's always more you can do.
I think we've seen a lot of really great improvements this year in terms of mental health awareness. I think a lot of people have been more open to speaking about it since the pandemic, but actually there's still just such a long way to go. But it's exciting that we've started.
Definitely.
I think a few years ago this would have been completely taboo. You would have never seen a podcast with people just speaking about mental health, especially as students. So it's, I think, fantastic that we have a platform to do this in, and that actually most people feel comfortable to do that.
Oh yeah, I think that's really good. And it's like sort of a thing, it's like if you look 2 years ago, the sort of the strides we've made is incredible, but it's like we'll be in 2 years time and we'll see back here and we'll be like, wow, we could have done even more, you know. And I think it's sort of an analogy I like to say, it's like we could be at the top of a mountain, but we're only halfway there, if that makes sense. It's like there's always more you can do. I think it's really important to sort of know that, I think. But
absolutely, which is why I thought your show was so great. When I saw, because I followed you on Instagram before you started Mostly Constipated, because we met on campus. But when I saw you were doing, I thought, wow, this is so great. One, because there's a huge difference in terms of numbers of how many guys speak about it compared to how many women do, and you're doing it from a student perspective and you're so open about it, and your show is also quite funny sometimes, which I think is brilliant, because I think that's why people don't speak about it sometimes. They think, oh, this is sort of a heavy topic, I don't want to tell my friends because I don't want to put a dampener on the conversation, I don't want to put this weight on them. But actually it's something that, yes, it's very serious, but it can be spoken about normally, and you do such a good job at that.
I think it's sort of a thing, it's like it doesn't have to be a weird conversation. You can have a little bit of, it can be lighthearted, sort of, like it can be lighthearted, like, because I'm quite a sort of I was going into the sort of radio thing because I did it after I was really low, sort of start of this year, and I wanted to do something else outside my comfort zone, and I wanted to do sort of this mental health, and I was going through my friends, and me and my friends had talks before, and they were just saying to me, like, just make it sure it's not sort of like too serious. And I'm saying, like, you know me, I am not serious, but like, it's going to be sort of, and that's what I've tried to sort of make it uplifting. So it's like, it is sort of having such a normal conversation with your friends. And I think the point you've touched on about the men, I think that's a massive sort of thing that it's going to take so long for it to be normalized. So I think a lot of men, especially my friends, especially like the older generation as well, sort of my dad, my granddad, sort of all them, it's like mental health wasn't spoken about. It's sort of like I have talks with my dad now, and he was saying like some things he went through in his sort of life, he probably needed help, but he just would never ever go to someone and sort of talk to them about it, because first of all, I think men still nowadays still think it's sort of you're weak if you do come out about it, you're not a man, quotation marks, which I actually hate. I think
me too.
I agree.
I think you're more of a man if you speak about it than if you don't, I think.
Yeah,
and I think it's just sort of a thing that we need to take out of, sort of, don't get me wrong, it is still bad in women's sort of cases, but we need to sort of take out a leaf out of women's book and be more open about it.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think even just opening up the conversation to it being sort of between the two sexes, that would be so beneficial, because, for example, I have a friend who's a guy and he struggles with anxiety and depression, and we have some of the best conversations because the way we both think is so different. But actually having that opposite perspective helps each other so much, because it just gives you the other side of the coin that sometimes you're not seeing. Because what happens to me, and I know many others, sort of when you're stuck in that anxious cycle, you can only see one thing and you're ignoring all of the other perspectives that there are to it, which is why talking about it is so great. You get an extra point of view that you probably would have never seen yourself.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think it's sort of weird. You know, I think what I try to do as well, I try to get as many opinions about a certain topic as possible, because with more opinions, you can sort of take in information and then sort of push your own opinion, if that makes sense. So that I think it's important to do that. But yeah, I think it's, you know, men's mental health is a sort of, in a way, worse than sort of any pandemic you could ever have, because sort of like, every suicide, the most deaths for men is suicide. So it's like, it's just crazy, and I think it really does need to be sort of destigmatized, and we need to talk about it a bit more.
Absolutely. I think it should be taught in schools. I think CBT, for example, should be one of the things that is included within any form of well-being modules and classes at school, because I was talking to a friend who'd actually been through CBT therapy, and he then applied for the army, and the army actually turned him down because they saw CBT as a sign of weakness.
That's so bad.
And I can't stress how wrong this is, because if a young boy who's, I don't know, 15 and is struggling with his mental health knew that he wanted to go in the army and saw this, he would probably never ask for help. And what's better on the front line? Someone who's actually learned how to deal with stressful events, or someone who's been hiding it for 3 or 4 years? I think, like, even in systems like an army application, the way mental health is seen, especially for men, needs to be changed, because I see it as a strength.
Yeah. I think it's awful, and there does definitely need to be a change there. I think as well, one of the worst things about mental illness is the fact that it is such a silent killer. You could not realise that someone had any problems at all, and then the next day they're gone, which is why I think it's so important to talk about stuff like this, even if it's over a brew, over a beer, either or.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's sort of like what you're touching on about the curriculum. Like, I had my old sort of form tutor on, talk to him about it, and I had sort of a woman who comes and trains, sort of teaches, etc. And I think it's sort of like, I was asking them, what do you think needs to be done in the curriculum? And it's sort of a thing, it's like, a lot of schools nowadays do a reaction policy. So it's sort of, we're going to be looking at people with mental health and trying to solve their problems. And then what a really interesting thing I saw was, especially in my old secondary school, what they're doing now is putting some resources into prevention. So it's like, we're not just waiting for people to have mental illness, we're actually sort of preventing people. So they're giving them advice, saying like, eat healthy, sleep more, talk more, you know, they're giving, which I think is really important, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think, and that sort of, that story you said about your mate and the army, that just doesn't help the situation, I think. That's just so wrong.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. And I think the best way we can start talking about mental health is sort of by opening up more in day-to-day conversation. So obviously don't open up to everyone. I think it's really important to stress that you have to sort of pick your people. It's like with any other piece of information. Like if you meet someone at the supermarket, you don't start talking about like all of the hobbies you like to do and what you're doing at university. You don't just tell them everything. It's like you wouldn't tell your address to a stranger. Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Hi, where's your name? You can sort of fine-tune your people and then pick how much information you share with them, because it's not said that you have to say absolutely, like if you've picked your person with whom talk about it with, it doesn't mean you have to tell them absolutely every single intrusive thought you're having or like every single bad day you're having. It just means that there's someone who's there that you can talk to. And the best way I've found this in terms of like actually starting this conversation is when people ask you how you're doing. So forget what you learned in your Spanish GCSEs when the little practice conversations like, hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I think actually elaborating on that middle response is so important. It's like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. Today was sunny, which was really nice because I hate rainy days. And then I spilt my coffee on the carpet, which was really annoying. But, you know, overall, it's not too bad. Or like if you've had a bad day, just changing it up. And that opens up the conversation more. And if someone asks you how you're doing, chances are they really actually care and they want to know.
Exactly. I think that's sort of like, I get sort of pull myself aside sometimes. My automatic reaction when someone asks me how I'm doing is like, yeah, I'm good, thanks, how are you? Like, sort of like, I never go, I'm all right, I'm not too bad. But I remember even like, sometimes when I'm in bed, I'll just think about sort of stuff, as probably most people do. And like, I will sort of like, when I was like really ill as a kid, even when someone rung the house and they'll be like, how are you doing? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm good, thanks, how are you? And I'll be like, coughing, like puking, like during the call, and it's like, and I'm like, I just don't know why it's so like instilled in people to say, yeah, I'm good, thanks. Like, why don't you just say, like, yeah, I'm not having the best day, sort of, yeah, you know? And I think that's sort of, that's, as you say, it does definitely opens up a conversation.
I have to constantly stop myself because even on text, I'll catch myself being so close to sending, I'm good, you.
Yeah.
It's all, as you said, it's absolutely automatic. How are you? I'm fine.
Yeah.
But are you actually? And I think this is a thought I had because one of my friends replied to a text of mine when I said, oh, I'm fine. She said, no, but how are you actually?
And it's sort of like a thing. It's like what I repeatedly say, it's say, are you okay twice? Because I think the first, are you okay, is how's your day? And then the second, are you okay, is sort of how you're doing up in your head, you know? How are you doing mentally?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's really important.
Yeah. And I think it just opens up the conversation so much more in terms of, oh, you said you were doing okay, but you said that comment that so-and-so said the other day upset you and you've been thinking about that. Do you want to talk about it?
No, I think that's just, it's, you just hit the nail on the head. It's just sort of like, if you do say sometimes, but to your close friends, you say you don't want to say it to like a random sort of person. Oh, but no. It's like, yeah, I'm not feeling the best today. And it's like, and then they'll just like instantly open up a conversation where you can just sort of spill the beans, you know?
Yeah, I think society and almost like social media makes you forget that it's okay to actually feel things. It's okay to have emotions, and it's okay to have this bad day. And like, life is an emotional roller coaster, really, isn't it? So I think it's okay to talk about the different emotions you feel. If one minute you're happy and the next you're sad, it's okay to say that. You don't need to be happy 24/7.
And I think sort of like, it's like a lot of people who suffer with mental health think it's going to be sort of all the time you're going to be you're going to be good, you're going to be upbeat. And it's like, I always say to like the listeners, it's always a journey. You're going to have some rough days, but that does not mean your whole week's going to be written off, your whole sort of recovery is going to be written off, you know? It's like, if you're sort of like trying to, so like, for example, I'm trying to exercise every day, and like some days I won't exercise, but it's not like I'm going to have to start the whole regime again. It's just I've had an off day, I get back on the horse tomorrow, you know? Sort of, I think that's what I like to sort of
definitely
put across.
And I think it's so important to remember that every day is almost its own isolated episode, because sometimes if you've had a bit of a rougher couple of months than usual, and then all of a sudden you have a couple of really good weeks, you think, okay, great, I'm recovering, this is amazing. But then if you have a really bad day, that can feel like, oh well, it's all gone to waste, my recovery is going terribly, I have to start all over again. But actually that's just a blip. And as you said, you just get back on the horse and keep going.
Exactly. I think that's really important.
Exactly. Really important.
And I think having resources like the books we've mentioned and like podcasts like this are a really good way to actually start talking about it. For example, for any of you who are listening, if you want to start a conversation with one of your friends, you could use this podcast. You could say, hey, I listened to this podcast the other day and this statistic really stood out to me. And then before you know it, you start this completely organic conversation about it. And those are often the best.
Oh, literally, yes. It's honestly the best sort of things when you have like a sit down with your mate and you really do sort of like spill your guts. And I think that's probably the best sort of, and you do get a lot, you go somewhere and it's sort of like you do get to places where it might be sort of uncomfortable, but if you're with your mate, you can make it sort of lighthearted, and then you feel so much better afterwards.
Definitely. And a lot of times it can feel like it's a very you thing, in air quotes, like this only affects you, but actually the second you start this conversation, all of a sudden your friend will say, oh, I felt like that too, or oh, I know someone who's been struggling as well, and this is what they've done to help, why don't you try doing this? And then before you know it, they're relating to you, you're not alone, and you're getting all of these great bits of information that can actually help you.
I think it's super important. And some people I talk to, and it's like, I don't know what to do when I'm talking to a mate who comes to me with a mental health issue. And like, what I'd recommend, and you'll give your recommendations as well, it's sort of like, I think you need to come from a place where you're neutral. So you have a relationship with that person, but to sort of, because I'm probably a perpetrator of this as well, I sort of try to give them sort of advice, but I'm not a professional. I should just literally listen. And I think as a friend, and you're listening to someone, my main sort of advice and point is to just take it all in and just listen, be that sort of, you're not there to give them advice. If they want advice, they're going to go to someone professionally. And I think you go in with there with a neutral point of view, and put yourselves in their shoes and how you'd feel. So I think it's really important to come from that sort of. What other recommendations would you say?
I fully agree with what you said. I think actually some of the best conversations are actually the ones that are fully silent. So just a friend letting you know that they're there to listen to you, that someone who doesn't pry and who just says, oh, you've been looking a bit down lately, or oh, this pandemic is really hard. If you need someone to talk to, I'm here for you. And just not even needing to go into anything, just knowing that there's someone who genuinely cares and who's there if you need them is one of the best things anyone can do. And I have to admit, it's tempting, like, giving advice.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always say, I wouldn't wish anxiety on my worst enemy. So it's so tempting when you see someone you care about go through it to just say, okay, here's the list of all the things that help me. Hopefully you can feel better. Because yeah. That's another trait of people with mental health struggles. It's that we like to fix things, which is how we often get stuck in rumination, because you're trying to fix this thought, you're trying to fix this. Why isn't it working? And then you just get stuck in that beautiful cycle. And it is, it's really tempting to say, oh, try this weighted blanket. Here's something that helps.
I mean, yeah, I think sometimes it could even be good to ask, like, do you want advice or do you just want my emotional support?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if you've got a problem, say I've had a problem before, sometimes you do just want to have a cry with someone and just, like, rant about how you're feeling. But sometimes you do actually want their help and want their perspective on your problems. But I think it's always good to check, because you don't want to give unwanted advice, because that can make it worse.
Yeah. Sometimes I just want to be a little bit dramatic about it.
Exactly. I just want a bit of attention.
And I think that, like, I think setting the boundaries for a conversation is so important. It's like, actually, I just really need you to listen to me right now. I am really overwhelmed. I don't need advice. I'll ask you for advice when I feel like it, but right now I just need to tell you what's on my mind because it's too much.
I totally agree, and I think it's sort of like, a one thing's not going to solve everyone's problem, so what helps us with our mental health is not going to help, it might not necessarily help someone else. So I think it's sort of interesting, and sort of, as you say, Abby, you need to sort of ask them, do you want advice or do you want me to to be an ear to for you to just talk into, you know. I think that's really important.
Definitely. And as I said, just knowing that there's someone there who understands, how nuanced in some ways this can be, because some days you feel like talking about everything, other days you feel like not talking about anything, and actually that's okay too. If you need to take time to process it just by yourself, that's also completely fine to do. And I think, as a friend of someone who's struggling, not only is it really important to educate yourself on what they're going through, because from education stems really great conversations, and knowing what someone's going through is a lot easier than just having to sort of learn it as they go. And the other person will probably appreciate it as well, but it's just knowing how to set boundaries and say, okay, I know this can be hard for you. I'm here if you need me. You don't need to talk to me right now.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. It's really important, sort of, and it's sort of like a tender subject sometimes, you know? It's sort of, and I think that's what we need to destigmatize as well.
Definitely.
100%.
Gosh, I could speak about this for days.
For ages, yes.
Honestly, yeah. But that's a good thing. We want people to talk about it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, we hope you can gain some really great conversations from this yourself. Let us know if you agree or disagree with us, because what works for one, like Dermot said, won't work for someone else. My mum will bring her really great sayings back into this again. She always says that each person is a world of their own. And that's so true, because the way you deal with things, or the way even you perceive an event, and the way that impacts you or triggers you, is completely different to how, I don't know,
it could impact someone else.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
Your mum is inspirational, I must say. She really is.
It's because my mum has to deal with me.
Yeah, I've never met her, but I agree.
Maybe I'll bring my mum on one day.
Please. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not ready.
Oh, anyway, I think that just about wounds up this week's episode. I think it's been great to have you on. Everyone go check out Emotionally Constipated.
It's been so great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for coming on. I love talking about, letting me come on. I honestly sort of love talking about mental health, and as you say, we can talk about it for hours, you know.
You're welcome anytime.
If you ever want me to come on again, I'm only one DM away. I'd love to.
And as we said, we'll be posting any resources if you are struggling yourself, or if you want to be a little bit more clued up on what your friends and family might be going through. And our DMs are always open if you want to have a chat. I'm a great provider of bad names. Abby and Derma are lovely to speak to. They're absolutely wonderful.
Thank you all for listening, sending you love and hugs, and we'll see you all next week.